yo, and away we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
And I'm going to open this one not in rap, but in hip-hop, in case you're wondering.
Oh, I wasn't.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, ready for the show. Let's go, buddy, some flow. I'm in a hurry because I got to go see Addy's mom for a blow. Hip-hop.
Hip-hop.
Yeah.
Good.
Good. First subject's mine.
It better be, because you got to redeem yourself after that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd absolutely agree. You know who wrote that for me? Brian Giewertz.
Giewertz, yeah. Well,
okay, so Kurt Angle, arrested, drunk driving. I feel like we've heard this story before, but bear with me, we're hearing it again.
Yeah.
Now, he's denying it, of course, and last time he wasn't actually charged, but he was arrested for it. What do you think?
Oh, my God, yes. From Jeff Hardy to Kurt Angle now, and they said all they were going to do was point to Kurt Angle as a success story for TNA's quote-unquote rehabilitation program. Well, here we are. Of course, he's claiming that he just hit some ice and he slid into a snowbank. He called the police, and the police, according to him, and this is all he wrote, the police had other
yeah, they had other plans in mind.
Other plans.
It often happens that the police will see somebody, and just, like, for instance, they'll see the car he's driving something like that, and they'll just decide to go off, you know, because Kurt Angle's, he's not white, right?
Help, I'm in a snowbank. You have the right to remain silent. Yeah, things like that happen all the time. And he's got a mugshot.
White guys, usually that happens to them.
He's got a tremendous mugshot.
Yeah, it is a great mugshot. But the bigger issue, though, is the TNA and their handling of Jeff Hardy spins into this. And I just want to know if you see if there's any correlation. Is it par for the course? It's TNA and Dixie's leadership qualities and their usual bullshit. Put your heads down. He still worked that night, so who gives a fuck?
Well, it is. It's par for the course. We unfortunately shouldn't really expect anything different. I mean, and let's not blanket this because this or make this a TNA problem, because I mean this happens in WWE. Have Alex Kiley.
Well, it happens in developmental every day, doesn't it?
Exactly. It's part of the developmental process. I think it's a course you take.
Yeah.
But you know, you do promo school and then you go drink and drive.
Yeah. But Santino Marella, Ted DiBiase.
Ted DiBiase, Alex Riley. I mean, it's just but. Kurt Angle, I mean, it's too bad. It's sad. Again, we you know, Kurt is seems better than he was when, you know, people were looking
at
him.
Well, I don't know anybody personally who's ever been arrested for that.
For what?
For drunk driving. I don't know anybody who's ever been arrested for that. But I mean, this is twice now. And this is something that actually, I think I might know somebody.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I don't remember.
Start with, anyways.
B or something.
Yeah. Anyways, the point being, though, that there's a point where you have to, quite frankly, you have to be able to control your talent. And one thing is that WWE, if something like this does happen, they will have, I feel a sense of control on an Alex Riley afterwards, whereas I don't feel that TNA has any sense of control on their talent. And I think that's what scares me about this, because it's twice now, and like I say, it doesn't matter, he still works. That's all they give a shit about.
Well, again, the big thing to me is just, you know, go and get some help or do something, but it's just the spin, it's the denial, it's the, you know, I just got stuck in a snowbank, and so I called the cops, and they decided to arrest me for drinking and driving instead. Well, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, it seems really, that's the thing, it's a really strange story.
Yeah.
But Kurt Angle, you know, I mean, we do wish he's well, and you wonder, this is the guy you worry about.
But,
too damn well.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, he's not the only one to go out there and be drinking, though, like you say.
No, I mean,
WrestleMania superstar Snooki shows up already drunk to film a vignette that's going on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Then during the vignettes, of course, occurring at a bar. And then, of course, she actually, during the vignette, continues to drink. And it seems as soon as the vignette was over and everybody had cleared out, stayed and continued to drink.
That's
right. And I mean, I personally think it's hard to believe that anybody off the Jersey Shore would be an asshole. But what do you think about that?
That doesn't make her an asshole. I mean, she just stayed and drank and continued to drink. I don't think anything really of it. I mean, she's not really a contracted superstar. She's just there to, you know, to...
It doesn't matter. You're fucking being paid. You don't show up for work and get fucking wasted.
You don't?
No, what? I don't. Well, not anymore.
No. But,
of course, I do a lot of driving in my job, so sometimes I do.
That's true, Kurt. No, I think, you know what, I understand it's unprofessional and whatnot, but again, as you said, she's Snooki from the Jersey Shore. I wasn't expecting King Lear here. So you get what you get. You have to kind of realize what you're walking yourself into.
Doesn't mean, though, she could be fucking wasted at Mania?
Hmm?
And she's not Shawn Michaels being able to hide it.
No, that's true. That part is true. Oh, no, and that is a distinct possibility. And it's a six-man, and they'll work around it, and she'll get one quick spot in, and off you go if that's the case. And really, she's not there. No one's buying a ticket or buying a pay-per-view to see Snooki wrestle. She's there to get her publicity, right? So they're there to see Snooki, whether, as you said, whether she's wrestling or not. The fact that she is, you had a bigger problem with it than I did. I didn't really care. But it's a publicity situation, and so if she steps in the ring and gets tagged in once, does a quick spot and tags out because she's wasted, again, not going to tarnish the legacy of WrestleMania. It's not going to hurt.
It's not the first person. Ted DiBiase also was, when he wrestled, who was it he wrestled and he was completely wasted at WrestleMania? I think it was like, it was Beefcake, or was that, was it the match with, I think it was actually Jake the Snake.
Could be.
Yeah, then he was just completely fucking tanked. He put it in his book. And
Jake was, too.
Yeah, but of course he wasn't the world champion, so he didn't get pinned in 90 seconds.
That's true. But no, I just think, you know, Snooki come out there and wasted it. You know, it's, again, unfortunate situation. At all surprising, no.
It's your second night. Fucking show up in shape.
Yeah, does it fill me with venom,
She's getting paid so much.
Yeah.
It pisses me off. Come
it pisses
on.
You off. I don't really. Again, who the fuck is Snooki? Who'd she ever beat?
What's
she
gonna
be?
Where is Snooki gonna be?
Where is Snooki gonna be in a month?
Yeah,
who
that's
cares?
True.
Where is Kurt
Angle? Nobody
gonna...
know. What really counts is that ending for Raw. I mean, that go home moment. That's the thing. I know when I was thinking about it, I mentioned once before that I'd just have them in the ring, sitting there staring at each other, and I was thinking about how actually, you know, the thing that I would have done was have, you know, the Rock, just have Cena and Miz throwing ham hands in the ring, and have the Rock's music play, and all of a sudden he comes out there, and you have that, the Rock's coming down to the ring too, this is a preview for Mania, what's going to happen when all three of them are in the ring together, and his music's going, the two are throwing ham hands, the crowd's going crazy, and you don't actually show it. I mean, to me, that's like your Mania build type moment. That's buys, but that's buys when you have a JR calling it.
Right.
That's the thing, right? JR can make me want to watch you vacuum your house.
Yeah, where Michael Cole uses terms like ham hands.
Fucking just say something else. Will you comment? So talk some wrestling?
Something else. Let's look at Christian.
Okay.
Christian Cage, as it were. You know, what do you think as we do this? He doesn't have a Mania match. He's been figured into the main event. Are we putting him into a three-way dance here? Like,
I think he's being set up to be the top contender after Mania, but I'm not. Or there's a possibility he's going to be the top contender after Mania. There's also a possibility that he gets thrown in there, and I mean, I think a lot of speculation was that Del Rio was going to win the championship. I kind of am starting to feel like they're not going in that direction. Like they've cooled on Del Rio, and not just because Christian has been pinning him, also because he hasn't been showing up on Raw, you know, and pushes hard that way either.
That's true.
So I kind of don't think that we're going to see Del Rio as the champion unless you have one of two possibilities. I mean, you have Christian set up, you have the three-way, or you have the Christian turn on Edge.
Yes.
Because they have in no way teased that he's going in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So this would mean it might actually be an effective swerve. If you're going to do a swerve, this is how you do it. You don't go have people going, isn't there, you just do it, and then people go, oh, fuck you, what a prick.
And it gives us Edge and Christian matches over the summer, too,
which would be awesome.
I like, right? So
yeah.
I do think that's a good plan. Again, with Del Rio, it's kind of the X factor there because, as I've talked about before, it's what they do. you lose before you win the title, right? So it just seems to me.
Yeah, good point. I think of a guy on a losing streak, as that means they shouldn't be giving him the belt, but I'm not thinking like a WWE booker.
Clearly because he said belt. But
yeah,
it,
and also said thinking.
thinking, yeah. But I do think that Christian, you know, deserves that run at the top. He's put his time in. He's a hell of a worker. He carried that ECW brand when it was at its, you know, dying days. It was the time to watch was just Christian matches. And why not? Give him a top of the card feud. So what are we looking here? Do you have anything more to say about Christian? I mean, we've been talking about him seemingly every show because it's just a matter of we're waiting
so
to see
on
what
SmackDown.
They do, right?
There's so little on SmackDown that's worth talking about. You know, there's
Cody.
Cody. There's the three matches, basically, we see coming out of Mania. And, I mean, there's a couple people. Like, Laycool is a SmackDown act that is on Raw, though, because that's where the money is.
Because of the snooky stuff.
So, I mean, there's really not much to come. I mean, I want to talk more about SmackDown. I think they've been putting on a good product lately.
What do you think
certainly
about Wade?
Far superior to Raw. But there's just not much buzzworthy news coming out of SmackDown. Leading into Mania, which is a shame.
To infinity and beyond.
Yeah.
What do you think about Wade Barrett and the Intercontinental title? What do you think they do with that now?
Well, I mean, you know what? It's strange because I mean, what do you do with that? I don't think we're going to see the Intercontinental belt defended at Mania.
No.
And it's certainly not the first time that they've had an Intercontinental champion at Mania and not had him defend it.
That's right,
so,
usually in the Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I mean, they pissed on the belt anyway.
Was Randy Orton not
matter.
The Intercontinental champion when they did the Evolution against Rock and Sock Connection?
Yes, he was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, there's that time. I mean, it's happened a few times. It just doesn't. They haven't built the belt up to mean anything. So I mean, and Kofi, I guess Kofi. What did he sort of had a feud with? What's his name, Swagger, and he was going over on him.
I guess
and Swagger
I
got his spot, and they just didn't seem to know what to do with Kofi. They don't have any momentum or any ideas.
It just
for
seemed,
him.
Yeah, that Kofi. Then it's not that I don't think he pissed anybody off. I just think they kind of just fell.
Yeah,
you know,
he just
out
fell
of there,
through the cracks.
He did, and I think that with Wade Barrett, I do like the idea of the core having the tag team and the Intercontinental title at this point now. And then you've got the big sort of bodyguard Heavy and Zeke.
Yeah.
I do like that as a dynamic for the group.
Well,
so
they need
even
to
though they have shitty
right
shirts,
now.
I still think that they're...
And a shitty home. Name with the spelling.
Yes.
And a shitty name in general. But
mm-hmm.
they need to be pushed again right now. They need to be pushed strong because... again, SmackDown doesn't – you don't feel like SmackDown has a lot of superstars on it. I mean, you just don't feel like there's a lot of star power on that show. They've been doing quite well in the ratings, and I think it's because Edge is an underrated draw. But there's not a feeling that roster is deep in talent. And I don't even really know what the purpose – it's like it's the B show, but – what's SmackDown's purpose within the WWE structure?
Universe?
Right now? Not universe, no, structure.
Oh.
Universe would be the fans, and the purpose is to provide better actual in-ring entertainment than the Raw. But
no, it's to put smiles on people's faces. You
heard
Linda
right.
tell us that.
Linda told us that last week.
So.
I can't wait to talk to her again.
Yeah,
soon.
She's a lovely lady. But,
she is a lovely lady.
I like that idea. I really think that the ratings rise in SmackDown can be attributed to the debut of Brodeus Clay.
Yeah.
And
well,
possibly
actually, you know what? I like
possibly
him,
the Tyler Rex Chris Masters feud.
That was on Superstars,
oh.
which got canceled.
Right.
Yeah. But no, straight to the internet. Success, folks.
International
Success.
Distribution. Baby.
International distribution.
All right. Well, you've got a mailbag question over there.
I have a mailbag.
So
I have a couple mailbag
right
questions.
Yeah, we've got a few, and we thank everybody. WeTalkWrestling@aim.com. Please send it to us. We love answering these questions. We love hearing your feedback. We get a lot of feedback as well that aren't sort of question form.
Yeah, please let us know about the show, what you're enjoying, what you're not enjoying,
we get some
and
hate
whether
mail
you want
Mo
more
too,
stuff.
But that's fine.
What's that?
We might read that one show, the hate mail we get about you.
Oh well, we only do 45-minute shows.
Mostly about your religious views, but that's okay. We'll
that's
just, we'll do 45-minute
yeah,
shows.
Yeah.
But so go ahead and ask the friggin' question, huh?
Well, okay, and this is the first time. It's not the first email we've gotten from an international person, but we're out of Calgary, Alberta,
question,
Canada.
Right?
But it is the first email question that we've read.
Hmm.
And the name's a little strange. Mangina out of Pori, Helsinki. Or not Pori, Pori, Finland. Pori, I guess, is a city in Finland. Helsinki is the capital.
Yes.
So Pori, Finland, Mangina is wondering, what is your favorite JR call? Addy.
Favorite JR call. Do I have to pick one?
Yes, yeah, I know. He's awesome.
I think my great JR call memories.
You don't have to pick one. Tell me some of your favorite.
They involve Steve Austin, generally, right?
Yeah.
Tyson and Austin, you know, that one. The classic Stone Cold is going to WrestleMania when he wins the Royal Rumble, right?
Yeah.
And then the Austin era has begun. You know, Stone Cold is when he wins the championship again. Those memories.
Those
for me.
Memories. There's nothing. There's one specific one.
Good God Almighty! They've killed him.
God is my witness, he's broken.
He is broken in half on the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
You know that's.
Well, you know, the thing about that was he didn't say that in order to further an angle or sell something.
That's right.
That was what he was thinking.
Yeah. Well, and when they killed him, like, that was just... Oh,
he was like,
shit.
Good God Almighty. You know, I mean, I enjoyed him as a heel character, too. I thought he called a tremendous promo.
You knocked out my boy.
Yeah, he was really good. And I'll tell you my favorite JR call ever. And because you talk about all these ones, and they're so great. And, of course
I do.
Yeah, and the Oklahoma character in WCW made fun of some of his mannerisms and things like saying pinata, you know, and saying that's what you do is you just repeat something three times and make it big, and you know, they made fun of some of his mannerisms.
Well,
I'm not even talking about the physical.
It was the Bell's palsy that.
That was obviously what was offensive, but I'm talking about as far as how he called a match. They did. You know, mentioned a few things, and he did have his catchphrases. All good wrestling announcers have their catchphrases.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's Jim Ross. I don't care if it's
Gordon
Vince
Soli.
McMahon, Gordon Soley. I don't care if it's
Ed Whalen
or Gorilla Monsoon. Yeah. Gorilla Monsoon, for instance, what was it he would say about Greg the Hammer Valentine? I don't remember.
I believe it took Greg the Hammer Valentine 45 minutes just to get warmed up.
Yeah, that was it.
You know,
yeah. we haven't mentioned that before, have we?
First I've heard of it.
Yeah. So
fond memory, though.
Every announcer
right
has
on the
that,
back. What was it? The occipital protuberance?
Something like that.
A little bump on
the
back of your head?
That, right in the back of the occipital protuberance. Yes, that tag team continuity.
That continuity is so important.
Absolutely.
So important.
I mean, JR, you can't really fault him for that.
Put his head down, paid for it, made a cardinal mistake for a ring veteran. Love
he that. Didn't hook the legs. He knew better.
Yeah, he knew better, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So anyways, you can't blame JR for just doing that. Even though that was what they were making fun of him. One of the things they're making
fun of
Oklahoma.
With JR, it was a bowling shoe ugly. Right?
Bowling shoe ugly. Slobberknocker.
Slobberknocker. Running like a scalded dog.
What is it? Something about mud hole.
Stomping a mud hole.
Let
him walk
it
dry. Yeah.
One-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he had several.
Whooped like a government mule.
Yeah. So, and Vince hated these because they were Southern wrestling type things.
Southern wrestling.
But he doesn't realize it's not that they're Southern wrestling type things. What they are is things that build up hype and make you excited and get you involved. So I will say this about JR. My favorite one, you talk about Gordon Soley, and obviously I remember when he inducted Gordon Soley into the Hall of Fame, and he said, I remember I was calling a match with Gordon Soley. He's calling the Terry Funk Ric Flair match.
Right, okay.
And that Gordon Soley opens it going, two men, one ring, two words, I quit. And that was, you know, and you were like, oh, it was that simple thing. It wasn't that exuberant. It was that selling the importance in a moment. And I think back to Mania 20. And it's Chris Benoit.
Who?
Chris Benoit. You may have heard of him.
He who should not be named, yes.
It was Chris Benoit. And it was, of course, Triple H and Shawn Michaels. And he goes, Shawn Michaels needs the belt.
Mm.
Chris Benoit wants the belt. But I'm not sure anyone needs or wants the belt more than Triple H.
Yeah.
And he did that, and all of a sudden, that main event to me went, boom, this is fucking important.
That Mania, that was the night that Chris Benoit took care of two people in one night.
Speaking of things we may end up editing out of the show. But, you know, all of a sudden, that match, it just, all of a sudden, it felt like a world title match. A match that I would pay for. A match that these guys would die for. Like Triple H is trying to get across in his match against The Undertaker. It really felt like, and I shouldn't have said die for and Chris Benoit in the same sentence.
Nope.
But
you're very offensive.
I certainly am. But, and... And did he use the crippler crossface in that match?
I believe he did, yes.
Triple H of Fragile X?
I don't know.
Okay.
Don't know. We could ask Linda about that.
We could ask Linda about Fragile X next time. Stupid bitch. Good, yeah. But anyway, I'm sorry. She's a nice person.
She's a very lovely person.
I appreciate her coming on. But yeah, so that's my favorite JR call of all time. I just, that stayed with me, the way he said it, and that moment I went, yeah, that's what I watch wrestling for.
Yeah, yeah. I just enjoyed his enthusiasm. You know, he was always, the passion always came through, whatever he was calling, right? And you could tell that he really, truly loved what he was doing.
Yeah, that's the thing. He really did. And that passion is, I think, part of what WWE's often not got. I mean, I felt like Gorilla had a passion. I felt like Vince had passion.
I felt like her mom had a passion.
But I don't think that – I've never felt like Cole has a passion. Cole is doing what he's supposed to do as his role.
Yeah.
Same thing for Tony Schiavone. He felt like he was doing what he was supposed to do for his role.
Well, at the end. Tony Schiavone did have a period of time where he
I never felt like he was enthusiastic, though. I thought he was a better actual announcer than Cole. But I didn't feel like he was ever enthusiastic or had a passion for the industry.
Which is why
– Lawler's passion comes through.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I mean,
not Lawler, I mean JR.
JR. Lawler can sometimes turn it on when he needs to. I mean, but Lawler's, you know, quite frankly, phoning it in as well. So,
yeah.
But again, and that's why we think Cole, you know, and we hope that we can, you know, get him transitioned just into.
Say this about Joey Styles. Right? I mean, people may like him, they may not like him, but he was fucking passionate.
Oh, I always liked Joey. I mean, I didn't always. Like him. To me, I did think...
And you know what? Josh Matthews, you could tell he's always been a fan.
Exactly.
You could tell he's always been a fan.
Yeah. Well, then that would... you know what Michael Cole called him? Was a fan?
That was what he called... Well, the F-A part is correct.
Oh, okay. That's close.
Yeah.
Close. But anyway, looking at... you know, we talked about Joey Styles. I was... we talked about him a little bit a couple weeks ago. But I think that he was sort of that mix between... I always liked...
Should I mute myself?
I think
I
you should.
I think
you should. Yeah.
Okay. I'll mute myself before opening.
Okay. So Joey says, I always thought that he was more of a he called too many moves. You know, I did like the fact that he called the moves, but I think you can't just focus.
Did he call too many moves for WWE? Or did he call too many moves for you? I mean, we know he did for WWE. Because that's not what they do. They tell the story.
Well, that's what I mean. For me, he did. For me, he seemed. And there were points with Joey that he was just move, and you gotta tell the moves, but you gotta tell the story of the moves and the reasoning behind.
He had
the moves
his calls too, though, didn't he?
So, he did. Oh
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I can't. That's why I said I'm not. You know. Against him. I like Joey as an announcer. I just thought there were times where what Vince was wanting to do with him, I thought, you know, was right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, let's move on with that. We thank, Mangina.
Mangina.
I had no idea that was a Finnish name.
Yeah, I had no idea that name should have existed.
That's right.
But
anyway, so
this
next topic here.
Yeah, this is from the real Jory Lawrence, it says. The real Jory Lawrence in St. John, St. John's, Newfoundland, I guess it is. It just says St. John's.
Okay.
But the real Jory Lawrence is wondering what are our favorite songs from the different eras, Rock and Wrestling, Attitude, New Generation, and The Current.
The New Generation.
So what are your favorite songs from the different eras?
Well, let's start off with the greatest song of all time, Jive Soul Bro.
Yeah, Jive Soul Bro and Bad Street. Those are, I mean, when I think back to that rock, but yeah, Jive Soul, if I had to pick one, I'd slightly lean towards Jive Soul Bro. Good Jive Lord, Soul. I fucking love that song.
You did. You liked that song almost as much as you loved Girls in Cars.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it was catchy.
It was catchy. What about Crank It Up?
Crank It Up.
That the Young Stallions used Jimmy Hart's Crank It Up,
and that led to a feud, folks.
And that led to a feud with who? Who was feud? Who did they?
Was it the Rougeos?
It might have been the Rougeos. That he wanted to use that song for the Rougeos, and the Young Stallions somehow managed to get the intellectual property rights to this song. I wasn't quite sure.
I love how these songs, obviously Demolition Song. Oh, I love that.
That was awesome, great.
Jive Soul Bro is my favorite. But
Hogan's, I mean, Real American is classic, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, Real Americans Classic, and fucking he goes to WCW, and they decide to do a
the American
what was it, the American Made, just brutal, yeah. Yeah, just terrible. You know, just come up with.
Well, do you remember his album, Hogan's album? Do you ever hear that
thing? Fucking remember Hogan's album. Do you remember
that when the Hulkster goes to heaven? Yeah. It's like his soft rock ballad that Hulk. Oh,
terrible,
hilarious,
but still hilarious and terrible. But this is all April Fool's Show stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
we'll get into that next.
Not as hilarious as Randy Savage rapping.
Yes, so, be a man, Hulk. But okay, let's go to the next. So that to me, rock and wrestling, anything really on the Pile Driver album. Don't go messing with a country boy.
Oh, yeah, classic.
I mean, come on,
classic. I mean, this is one of those songs I didn't realize. I mean, I didn't know at first that was Hillbilly Jim singing it. And mm-hmm. when the first couple times I heard it, I thought that must have been off the radio or something, because it sounds like a legit song.
It did, yeah.
You know, and it was fantastic,
Waylon
too.
Waylon Jennings, you know. But, and then it became Piledriver. What about All American Boys?
Well, that was good because it was funny. I mean, that was a gimmick from the Rougeaus, these, you know, French
Canadian
guys.
Well, anything Jacques Rougeau did, right?
Yeah.
The Mountie.
Yeah, I'm the Mountie. That was funny. Yeah.
We're not the Mounties.
Yeah,
we're handsome. We're brave. We're strong.
Yeah,
that was tremendous.
Yeah, no, it's funny, but no, it's not my favorite.
Okay. So,
Jive Soul Bro, Bad Street. Those are my two from the rock and wrestling. I'm going to move on to the new generation then.
Okay.
Of course, the era right after, in between Attitude and the rock and wrestling era,
or shit, whatever you want to call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, shit. You could go with that, you know. But it's actually kind of interesting because. Technically, I guess you wouldn't put this in there, but that's where Austin's music first probably played. What you would have said that still. When do you think that? When did that?
That kicked the Attitude.
That kicked the Attitude Era off.
I think kind of. I mean, I guess it technically is a little bit pre-Attitude Era.
Same thing. I liked how Hunter Hearst Helmsley, as Hunter Hearst Helmsley, was coming out to that Beethoven. I think it was Beethoven's Fifth. He actually used that as, and I thought when he was still that blue bug gimmick, and that was fantastic.
I did like that.
Two other songs, then I'll say New Generation. Shawn Michaels' song,
of course.
And my favorite, though, if I had to pick one, I love Goldust music.
And again, the Shawn Michaels is much like Austin, sort of pre. New Generation, because you had Sherry Martel, Sensational Sherry, of course, singing it, because he really turned, and he was in WrestleMania 8 with that song.
That's true. He was in WrestleMania 8 with that song. But kind of an Attitude.
Kind of.
It wasn't really so much rock and wrestling, though. It was more New Generation song. But I'll go Goldust song. I love that one. No, Goldust first debuted, it was just that same opening theme repeated. But once they started adding layers to it, I thought it was a pretty cool theme. And they did the spotlight entrance and the gold glitter. He bought into the gimmick, and I love that song. That'd be my favorite New Generation song.
Another, you talk about, I can't believe I missed this one, but I have to go because it's in my top five of 80s songs, or 80s, 90s, that early era. You just mentioned Goldust. What about The American Dream?
Oh, yeah.
The polka dots, Common Man.
American Dream. Bum, 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 bum. I'm just coming, man.
Yeah, I mean, so that's one. Stop.
Yeah, okay.
No,
So if we still have any listeners, the American Dream song was great. And the American Dream song they can still play today,
mm-hmm.
and they'll get a pop because same thing with Ted DiBiase, right?
Again, yes, DiBiase, great song.
Yeah, it was just a great hook.
The Big Boss Man's Face song.
Have you ever
take a trip down to Cobb County, Georgia, you better read the signs, respect the law and order, serving hard time.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, that
was
a great
song. What about the Hacksaw Jim Duggan remix from that, remember that WrestleMania techno rap that was actually produced by Simon Cowell?
I do not remember this.
You don't remember this?
In a future episode, I want to hear this.
This album that Simon Cowell produced brought us Linda McMahon's entrance music.
I do. Oh, that.
Yes, you
really?
Know. Whoa, whoa.
Wow.
Wrestle. And then they had it was guys talking, and then they'd eventually get into almost like a techno-type rap. And you're like, I got my 2x4, I got my 2x4, and then USA, USA.
Yeah, I sort of remember it now.
And Bret Hart had one, Macho Man had one, I think Mr. Perfect had one.
Mr. Perfect's music, that would have probably, I don't know what era that falls in.
That's all of them. Really, he spanned the whole deal, right?
But that was great. So Gold, but anyways, I picked Goldust.
New generation, I am going to have to go with I'll Be Your Hero. Lex Luger, no. I will, you know what music I actually really enjoyed from the new generation was Razor Ramon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's, again, you just remember it.
Well, yeah, but it's great.
That's the thing. It's just a very memorable theme. Yeah,
and they didn't have a lot of songs like with words and stuff in that era.
No, they really
didn't. It was like the Bretts, and I mean, Sean had music, had songs. What about the Lives Are Gonna Be and Waylon Mercy's Hands?
Yeah, that was. You know what? Actually, when Kevin Nash, when he redebuted just recently at the Royal Rumble, they had his honking from the. But when they actually added that blues harmonica music to it, that was pretty damn good. That was a good hook. I liked the blues harmonica from his era too. That
what
was
about,
a good tune.
What about when we talk about the new generation? What about WCW?
Yeah,
they had their album there with Rick Ravishing Rick Rude, Mr. Bang Bang for Cactus Jack.
Mr. Bang Bang was pretty cool.
Man Called Sting.
Well, that's Man Called Sting. Sting, historically, Sting. Until kind of the Crow Sting, had the worst music ever.
Yeah.
That he's a man called Sting. A man called Sting. I think the third lyric was, if I remember correctly,
he does this, he does that.
And then something along the lines of, he's a man called Sting.
He's quick as a cat or something.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Man Sting,
it's really kind of the similar lyrics, I think, to what R-Truth has with, you know,
well, but
what's up?
It's true, but they would actually play Sting's music outside of Green Bay, Wisconsin.
That's true. Yeah, so, but Sting has had the worst music, I think, of anybody who ever became popular for a long, long time.
Yes.
His was terrible. But actually one thing you can always say, though. Until Jimmy Hart actually started working for that company, and even for a while afterwards, and he actually, right until the end, WCW's music was never as good as WWE's music.
No.
They always were behind.
Well, okay, let's look at some WCW. What are some good WCW songs? The NWO. Was good.
The NWO,
The Wolf Pack.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, the Wolf Pack I loved.
Yeah,
Wolf Pack
yeah,
was one of my
they
favorites.
They still use that in some of the rodeo. There's a team called the Wolf Pack or whatever. So whenever they play, they do that.
Yeah, no, that was good stuff. And they tried to do a rip-off for that in TNA here recently. They were using a lot of stuff where they
rip-off in TNA?
Rip-off rip-off in WCW, because they were using DDP had Nirvana music, and
Jericho
had Pearl Jam, and
Raven
had
Nirvana.
Pearl Jam.
Oh, was it Pearl Jam?
Yeah, Pearl, you know, Raven actually, though,
no,
did.
Raven had Nirvana, because...
Was it?
Yeah, he had... Because DDP, of course, had Smells Like Teen Spirit. And I'm trying to remember what Raven. I think it was another Nevada. Anyway,
You know whose music
Jeff
I love?
Jeff Jarrett had
WCW?
A Kid Rock ripoff. Song.
That's right. Jeff Jarrett had a Kid. They really did a lot of that. But you know who I think had good music? And I guess this probably would have been about the time of the Attitude Era, because this is kind of Eddie Guerrero, and Chavo Guerrero used it for a while in the WWE.
Yeah.
That.
I think he still does use it.
No, he's got the thing, right?
Yeah.
Right? But that it was real good heel music. Probably maybe my favorite music coming out of WCW ever.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, it was
my
right
favorite
up there,
music
right
coming
up
out
there.
Of WCW ever was Rap Is Crap.
Well, there is that. Rap Is Crap was fan fucking tastic.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the new generation, and what about the Attitude Era?
Attitude Era had a lot of good music, man. Attitude Era, I mean, obviously, the music, you talk about how Austin's music kicked off the Attitude Era, and it did kind of in a little bit of a deeper bass than the rhythm, a little bit of a harder edged feel to it. But when you really think Attitude Era and a song that defines it is that DX song,
are you ready?
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's the song that first pops to mind is,
is
the DX song. And it's a good song.
The Human Oddities.
The Oddities was great. I love fucking ICP coming out with Odysseys. Oddities was fucking fantastic.
How'd you really feel, though?
I love that.
what else?
It's all right.
I hated it. But no, it was good. I'm trying to think of the other, Do You Smell What the Rock Is Cooking? I mean, that again,
I think it's more the opening to that than it was.
Well, yeah,
Booker T's
but I like
music.
During the thing where it's like, The Rock says, no, you know what I mean? He just had that...
Yeah.
Thing.
Well, what they took was they took essentially when they got The Rock says. I mean, that was what they did with Ted DiBiase earlier, and that's what the NWO did with theirs, right?
I have a friend that always wanted to play Edge's music. You think you know me? You think like when I had the music CD from back then that I'd have it in my car or whatever, he'd always be like, go to this one. And he'd always
really?
He'd always go to Edge's music for some reason. There was no words to it or anything. Like, you know, he's like, you think you know
speaking
me.
Speaking of friends, and before then, I forget a second time here, I didn't forget to, I got to remember, thank my friend Brett M. For all the hard work he did in Two and a Half Stone Men. Brett was responsible really for most of the genius of that, the post-production, and also for dropping in a goodie for us in the beginning of the last episode, the song that we wish we had the technical skill to put in ourselves. But thank you very much. Above and beyond, Brett. But back to music and Coliseum Home Video, obviously one of my favorites too. But back to the Attitude Era. I Booker T and WCW, I like that music.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Can You Dig It or Sucker? Was that?
Yeah,
no,
is that?
Yes. No, no.
Yeah, that was good music. I think Conan actually pretty good.
Conan did the Wolfpack, and then Conan had some. What about Disco Inferno?
Well, Disco Inferno was really, yeah, I love that. Disco Inferno is actually going to be on our show in the next little while.
You will, yeah.
I was just on the phone with him last night, and I got to keep him off. Like, he went on for hours.
Well, he kept thinking you were a Martian.
Yeah.
But, no, I think that...
Well, all the Martians happened before.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I'm trying to think of any other music that y'all... I'm an ass man. Come on.
Yeah, that was fucking fantastic.
I love to touch them. I love to rub them.
That
love to kick them.
That was fucking hilarious.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, Attitude. I think Attitude, just as a general rule, everything felt so good. It's tough to think of something that's really standing
Chris
out.
Chris Jericho.
Break the walls down. I was saying recently when he came back and he was doing this Nick Bockwinkel type character, the one thing they should have done was change his music.
Yes,
because I didn't think that music suited the new character.
No,
Jericho's music was fantastic as well. So
what about, Hunter? Has anybody had more music than Hunter?
The one I liked the most was Our Time. That one, what was it called? That was, again, the DX band.
Chris Warren band.
Well, actually,
yeah.
The one I like the most probably is that King of Kings. I really like that.
Yeah, I liked that he said the King of Kings. He had the It's Time to Play the Game. He had the Evolution song. He had the It's My Time song.
Well, Taker probably has had as many songs. Taker during the the Attitude Era had a constant kind of shifting of his music.
Yeah.
Constantly, the same theme, but for many, even before he became the American Badass, and as the American Badass, he had two songs.
At least.
He had Limp Bizkit and Kid Rock, is that.
And then he had that other shit song that Jim Johnson
made. That one.
It's fucking awful.
Oh, yeah.
It was horrible.
It was like a bluesy type song.
Yeah, it was shit, whatever it was.
You're gonna pay.
That was around, we talked about the greatness of
You're gonna pay.
It was, you talk about we talked about the greatness of Jim Ross. How about, around exactly the same time of You're Gonna Pay, that was around the time that Jim Ross was calling Undertaker Booger Red, which I thought was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard.
Yeah, but he also called him Big Evil and the Red Devil, and
But Booger Red was just, I just thought,
Booger Red, no. There was a meaning behind that.
I don't care. Still
but
stupid.
But do you remember what it was?
No, I don't.
No, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Turned
the channel.
Yeah, but Booger Red, but I like Big Evil.
What about Ernest the Cat Miller?
Oh, yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
I'm the greatest.
Yeah, good stuff.
Or
good
his stuff. WWF music was Somebody Call My Mama.
That
was awesome.
Yeah, that was kind of, that was almost post Attitude Era, I think you could say. But,
oh, definitely post Attitude Era.
But good, a lot of good stuff back in that era. Yeah. And Mick Foley, I think he had good music. Yeah, I like the concept of coming to the ring and leaving the ring as Mankind is different stuff. And,
he first came in, and he had the piano
Cactus
playing.
Cactus Jack music, and I think that was good stuff,
it wasn't
too.
The Cactus Jack, it was his Mankind. Remember, he had the piano?
Cactus Jack, he had good music, too.
Oh, yeah.
I like that, so, yeah. I think he had some good themes as well.
Speaking of
music, I think we have somebody on the line.
Do we have someone?
Yeah. Do you see him? Is he calling in? Is he there?
Let me make sure. Hello, hello. Are you there?
Hello, this is Ryan Seacrest for American Idol.
Ryan Seacrest, how are you? Thanks for coming on.
Is this We Talk Wrestling?
This is We Talk Wrestling. Yes, it is.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on.
I'm a huge wrestling fan.
That's what I heard.
I've been looking forward to talking about all my favorites.
I got to be honest. When I got the when you tweeted me, I actually saying you wanted to come on the show. I actually thought it was a hoax. Just so you know, you never know these.
It was not a hoax.
No,
I've had for many years many favorites in the squared circle.
Oh well, who are some of your favorites then?
I was a big fan originally of Adrian Adonis.
Oh, Adrian, adorable Adrian Adonis.
Absolutely.
The East-West Connection? Did you like the East-West Connection? Or
no, after that.
After, okay, so when he came in and was with Jimmy Hart.
No, after that.
Oh, so when he feuded with Roddy Piper.
Yes,
okay.
That was when I was a big fan of Adrian Adonis.
Okay, well, yeah, no, unfortunately, Adrian has passed away, but
he's no longer with us?
He is no longer with us, unfortunately. No, it was, I believe it was in Newfoundland. He got a car accident and passed
That's
away. But
a shame.
What is? Who else were some of your favorites?
Well, there was a character. His name was Goldust.
Oh, yes.
I found him to be intriguing.
Dustin really is pushing the envelope in that early 90s. Yes, Goldust, definitely.
And after that, I noticed some characters in another company known as WCW.
Oh, did you watch a lot of WCW as
there
well?
There was Lenny Lane and Lodi.
Lenny and Lodi, yes.
Fantastic performers.
Excess, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I do remember that much.
Then I managed to find Rico back in the WWE.
Yes, there was Rico.
I was a big fan of Rico.
What about the team that he managed, Billy and Chuck?
Billy and Chuck were the exact type of performers that I enjoy.
Okay, well, that's good. And, I know Billy Gunn had some
and
problems.
And currently, I like this man, Orlando Jordan.
Yeah, Orlando
My
Jordan.
My current favorite.
Okay.
One heck of a good, fine hand in the ring.
That's, yes, that's...
Can I tell you who my all-time favorite is, though?
Oh, he's not your all-time... Okay, yeah, please do. Who's your all-time favorite?
All-time favorite. I enjoyed this man. He was managed by two women called, I believe, Pretty Mean...
Sisters. Pretty Mean Sisters. You're talking about Meat.
Pretty Mean Sisters.
Meat
yeah,
was his
Meat
name.
Was his
yes.
name. I was a big fan of Meat.
I heard
even
that.
Though he was a little unenergetic for some reason in the ring, I still enjoyed his performances.
Well, his gimmick actually at the time was that he was tired or he was blown up, he was lethargic in the ring because he'd been backstage all afternoon having sex with the Pretty Mean Sisters. That was the gimmick there. That's why he was a little lethargic.
He was having sex with the women?
With the women, with Terry Reynolds and Ryan Shamrock and Jackie, I believe, yes.
Well, I was never a big fan of Meat.
Okay, well, that's not what I heard.
But I really enjoyed that Goldust.
Okay, yes.
So,
yeah,
thank you very much. Seacrest out.
Okay, well, thank you, Ryan Seacrest, for coming on the show. That's a big get.
Shouldn't he have said Seacrest OUT?
No, because he's smarter than that.
Oh, okay.
He's actually successful.
He's actually successful.
Yeah, so,
yeah. Well, more people listen to him than us, unfortunately.
A couple.
Yeah. All right. So, are we gonna just? I got a game here I wanted to play. Do you want to hit that real quickly, or?
Let's.
Wait a second. I got something else on the line.
You do.
Joey Lawrence. What do you think of the Seacrest interview?
Whoa.
Okay, Lloyd, he's rambling a bit this week, so we're just gonna cut him off.
Oh, we had to. That was getting out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a big head, I think, good coming on the show. So we have to maybe just have a talk with him.
Yeah. So I'm gonna let's hit this game here. It's called Tit for Tat, This or That.
Okay.
I like your mom's.
Unlike Ryan Seacrest, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. Here's the concept of this game. If I was to say to you, I'm just going to give you two things, and you pick one.
Okay.
So, for instance, if I said to you, Wendy's or McDonald's, you would say
Wendy's.
And why?
The bacon mushroom melt.
Okay, simple enough.
Okay.
So it's the same idea, but this is for wrestling. So I'm going to give you one here.
Okay.
Very simple, okay?
Okay.
Sid Vicious, Kevin Nash.
Okay. Kevin Nash.
And why?
The bacon mushroom melt. No. Kevin Nash, because he of that RF video that we saw that we're going to order where he's just bawling his eyes out and drunk.
Yeah, because, I doubt Sid has ever been drunk.
No, I doubt that very much. He's a straight edge.
Yeah.
He's actually probably going to be the guy that
Why would you pick what?
I think he's going to be the guy that actually helps CM Punk beat Randy Orton. Sid.
Yeah. It could be. Why actually would you go with seriously, it's Kevin Nash over Sid.
Well, I've got more entertainment out of Kevin Nash just when you talk about you know, the NWO and his promos and such. And Sid was just one of those guys that was there for me. He never, you know, I didn't hate him so much, but he just never really, you know. I didn't get excited when a Sid match came on, but when it went, or a Sid promo for that matter. But when it came time for Kevin Nash to at least speak, I was going to listen.
Okay, let's hit another one here then.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to give you the Dudley Boys or Demolition.
Demolition.
And how come?
Because they're awesome. No, Demolition, one of my all-time favorite teams. I personally am probably in the small minority, and I don't want to don't mean to offend anybody. It's just my opinion that likes Demolition more than the Legion of Doom, and that's just because I grew up with Demolition. I didn't grow up with Legion of Doom. I didn't realize that Demolition was a copy of the Legion of Doom until after, you know, until years later.
I learned that out from the PWI magazine.
Yeah, I see. I never did, but I remember. You know, one of my favorite moments as a kid was Demolition beating Strikeforce at WrestleMania 4. Again, the Dudley Boys gave me some entertainment. I didn't watch a lot of ECW. You know, I didn't, Dudley Boys were really in ECW, I wasn't getting a lot of that. I was seeing it every once in a while, but I really wasn't getting the white hot heat that they were getting.
But on the other hand, can you really see, I mean, when you watch WrestleMania 17 and you had great enjoyment, or you went to the SummerSlam, and you see the TLC match. Is the SummerSlam 2000, was that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, you watch that, and you know you never got anything like that from Demolition. That doesn't sway you a little bit towards the Dudley Boys?
No, because the Dudley Boys were in the matches, but, I mean, I remember seeing Edge and Christian against Hardy Boy ladder matches that the Dudley Boys weren't even in that were just as good.
Okay.
The Dudley Boys, great team, had a finish, you know, were one of the last, you know, we're over. Now, not to take anything away from the Dudley, I'm not saying, like, I hate the Dudleys and love the Demolition, but if I had to pick the two, if I was drafting, I'd be going Demolition.
Okay. Eddie Guerrero or Jimmy Snuka?
Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie Guerrero, Eddie Guerrero. Okay.
Yeah, because right. I'm also a fan of promos. And so, I mean, I'm just, the Eddie's in-ring work better. Again, Snuka.
Snuka was in like 1984, 1983, an incredibly dynamic performer.
Oh, he was. But again, it just, I thought Eddie was a more all around performer, and never, to my knowledge, got away with murder.
Yeah. Yeah, never so, to your knowledge.
Never no. to my knowledge.
Notice who I did not compare Jimmy Snuka to.
Yes, I was thinking that,
good
too.
Good friend of Eddie Guerrero.
Yes, Dean Malenko.
Okay, but, no, well, Dean Malenko or John Morrison.
Is that where you're going, Dean Malenko or John Morrison?
Yeah.
That's tough. That's tough.
They're supposed to be tough.
That's
what she said.
That's what your mom said, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus. I have to go with Dean Malenko.
Dean Malenko over John Morrison.
Over John Morrison. And it just, I think it's just... I could be swayed. If you ask me that question in 2 years, I may go with John Morrison. I don't know. But the thing with Dean Malenko, and a lot of people don't really realize this because he was never, you know, a headliner. He really didn't do anything in WWE, WWF, right? He never really did. But you watch him in WCW, he was just so fucking fluid.
He was.
In everything
incredibly.
He did. He was
that
just.
That gimmick, a man of a thousand holds, was not a gimmick.
No. And I was really.
He was a Matt Master.
And honestly, I was hopeful for his kind of James Bondy type gimmick that he
that,
was going to
speaking
right?
of great music.
Yes.
Fuck, that music was
but
fantastic.
I was hopeful.
You know, another music,
that.
Speaking of that, just reminded me, new generation music, Ahmed Johnson's music. Fuck, I love that.
Ahmed sang that himself, didn't he? Maybe I was just listening to it.
Maybe that was Farouk.
Maybe I was listening to it behind a closed door.
Yeah.
But anyway, I would go with Dino Machino for sure.
You go with Dino Machino, okay? Yeah. Mick Foley or Bruiser Brody?
Mick Foley. I don't know why. I was just exposed to Mick Foley more than I was to Bruiser Brody.
To really see the greatness of Bruiser Brody, you have to go on YouTube. But when you watch some of these moments from Japan, you watch just his. Like, fuck, this guy was awesome.
Yeah,
this guy
he really was.
Was.
He really
awesome.
Was.
I would love to see WWE do some way to get to in some way promote this man because he was something
in
else.
The Hall,
and you know what? In the Hall, a DVD or something. They have a lot of footage on him.
Maybe
and you know what? He was in the way he. Yes, he's passed, but he didn't pass in the way. It's not a tragedy in the way. It was a tragedy in a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not in the way that we often associate with wrestling. So
that's true.
I'm not saying I disagree with your choice. I'm just saying. Yeah,
but I mean,
great.
Bruiser Brody all time. I guess you got to, you got to give it to him. Can I tie?
You can tie.
Those two are pretty, I got to tie that one because I'm just that. I'm. I mean, there's a reason that the Brawler of the Year is called the Brody Award, right?
I have more, but quickly, I guess we got Royalty. Royalty has contacted us.
Is he?
He's on the line.
Oh wow! Okay.
Jerry Lawler, the King, has wanted to respond to what his son said. Please, Jerry Lawler, what did you have to say?
How's it going?
Good. What did you say about your son? You were upset that he came on our show and said he owned you.
I guarantee you, he is not going to be getting away with that.
No? What's going to happen at WrestleMania?
When I taught Michael Cole and my son, Brian Christopher, I'm glad he never used Lawler name because I'm ashamed of him. But I am going to take care of business, you know what I mean?
Well, you've always been so straight edge. You don't drink, you don't do anything, and then you got this character coming out of you. How did that happen?
Rebellious, I guess. I just don't know. I don't know how that happens. But I guarantee you that at WrestleMania, Michael Cole, he's going to get his.
Well, you throw the best puncher in the history of the business, most likely. Are you babysitting Jerry?
I'm sorry, guys. I might have to let you go here. I'm about to go for dinner. I'm on a date here.
You're on a date? I'm uncomfortable.
I'm on a date, so I'll let you go, guys.
Yeah, I'm very uncomfortable. Please go.
I will let you go. Okay. Thanks for having me on, guys. Thank you.
Oh my God, Jerry Lawler. You know, I've heard rumors about his dating life, but. I didn't know they never been confirmed until
just now, I guess.
Until just now. Yeah, okay, I'm going to hit two more, and then we'll call it a show.
Yeah, let's
get Bret Hart or Owen Hart, and we'll hit this game again in the future.
Bret Hart or Owen Hart?
I know. They're supposed to be tough.
Owen Hart. Because
Owen Hart, really?
I'm going to go with Owen Hart. Wow. And again, it's my personal favorite.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm just saying. Throwing two names, you pick them.
Yeah, Owen Hart. The tiebreaker is that Owen Hart's birthday was May 7th.
And that's your birthday?
And that's my birthday.
Well, for that reason, I'll go with Bret Hart.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to go Ultimate Warrior.
I could also go Hercules Hernandez.
Ultimate Warrior. Yes, I think of Hercules Hernandez, and I definitely think he's better than Bret Hart or Owen Hart.
Hey.
Yeah. Of course, he's dead now.
He is.
Ultimate Warrior or Goldberg?
Ultimate Warrior.
Warrior or Goldberg? Yes. Why is that?
The promos.
The promos.
Yes.
You fucking don't understand those promos.
I know, they're great. No, those
exit stage left, exit stage right.
Oh, that was, two and a half stone men. That was his lines. He had to do his lines, that's all. I mean, you can't blame him. He didn't, Chuck Lorre wrote those things.
That's true.
Right on that, but
it really is the difference for you?
No, I mean, you got a little bit of longevity as well. I'll realize that Goldberg was in life in the fast lane.
There's a huge parallels between those two.
Oh, there absolutely is a huge parallel. It's just if you were to ask me which one I like more.
Which is what I did.
Yeah. I like the Ultimate Warrior more than I like Goldberg.
Okay, I'm going to go I have a lot of good ones here. But okay, go ahead. What were you going to say? The other thing with Ultimate Warrior, drink your beer and tell me.
The other thing with the Ultimate Warrior is that when he came back a couple times, it was just... it wasn't the same. There was that law of diminishing returns every time that he came back, which made his first run sort of so, I want to say, white hot.
Yeah.
And with Goldberg, it's the same thing. I was talking about the parallel, right?
Yeah.
It's the same idea. But, I mean, Goldberg only came back the one time. But same idea is that they really are easily compared.
I don't think Goldberg ever had a match as bad as that second Hogan Warrior match, ever.
No, but
I think Goldberg was maybe Goldberg was not a great worker. I don't think he's as bad as his reputation.
Yes, he is.
No, I don't believe so. I think he's actually a fair worker.
Oh, you mean he's worse than his reputation?
No, I think he's actually pretty. I think he's pretty fair, and I think he's a better worker than Warrior. Warrior, as far as charisma, I put them at about an equal level. I'd agree. Warrior is a more obviously the better promos. Warrior has the better gimmick. I don't know. It's pretty.
Well, that's
damn
why
close.
I said the Warrior had the better gimmick. Warrior entertained me more. They both pissed me off equally, being bitter at a business that gave them everything they had.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know. I got tons of more good ones. You want one more? Or should we call it?
Yeah, we'll do one more. We'll do one more.
Okay, so let's stay on that same kind of theme then. Let's go Sting or Cena. Because again, talking about parallels, I think there's a lot of parallels between those two.
There really is. I'm gonna go with. Oh, Jesus, fuck. I don't even know. You know? Very difficult.
It's supposed to be hard. That's the. That's
see,
the
both
point.
When
that's
I
what
go through,
said.
I'm gonna do the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire bullshit and just start to talk this out. But
yeah,
you
go
know,
ahead.
Both of their early careers. I mean, in terms of WCW, I mean, Sting did have a longer career. Both went through California, I mean, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Both went through a developmental kind of territory with a few different gimmicks.
Both were bodybuilders.
Bodybuilders,
got discovered
yeah.
by the same gentleman, weren't
yeah.
they?
Could be Rick Bassman. Did he
I believe
both?
So.
Yeah, UPW Rick Bassman, maybe, yeah. It's some... The eras were different, but both came in very sort of bland and vanilla, and Sting had a quicker rise to the top, I think, you know, in terms of once they got to the main stage of NWA WCW. Never bought into that character, though. Never bought into to Sting as a guy.
No, I was never a big Sting fan, and
I
you
did,
know, again, parallels.
I did buy in to rapper John Cena at first. I thought that was
a
great character. I thought that was a great character. Then he got into the poopy baby face, right? And now I hate him. Hate what he's doing right now.
I started
you know.
To turn on him before that. But, yeah.
Then you got the Crow Sting. And really, it's a year and a half of Sting basically wrestling no matches, but I loved him.
Yeah, he was.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
And it was phenomenal. But then he came down and he got to talk again, and then he joined the Wolfpack, and it was all over again. So,
yeah.
Of the two, I'm gonna have to say Cena probably entertained me more than
okay.
Sting.
Okay, Cena, you're going with Cena.
We're gonna end with me. Talking good about John Cena.
That's you know what?
Eh?
This maybe we should.
That's
going to
lead us into our April Fool's show. That's awesome.
Perfect. Okay,
love it. So that's going to be our next show. Everyone is going to be an April Fool's show. We're going to put
and
up.
And
we kind
will
of special.
Play this game again in the future because I have a shitload of good ones. I was going to ask you Johnny Polo or Harvey Whippleman.
Oh, Johnny Polo. But
all right,
that one's easy.
Okay.
Anyway, so that we're gonna wrap up there. Next show we're gonna do is an April Fool's show, so hope everybody can look out for that. If you've got any April Fool's questions or just things you want to throw out there for us to discuss, wetalkwrestling@aim.com. Again, website wetalkwrestling.podomatic.com, iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, perhaps, Mo.
I've been trying to get some Facebook going.
Okay.
Addie's explaining Facebook to me to get me going.
That's right. Well, yeah, I tried to use his mom to explain face, but that's a different story altogether.
Yeah, I used your mom to explain head.
There you go. What does everybody want? But anyway, so we're going to wrap up here. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night.